I'm going to just introduce now my mom. It's going to be a great morning hearing the word, and just let's welcome her as she comes.
It's exciting to be here on the last Sunday of 2012. I always think it's important to reflect back and look and see what God has done this past year. And although we tend to concentrate on the negative things, I know there was a lot of good things that God did in our lives and in our families and in our church over this past year. I grew up, and when Pastor Ralph was saying about the prayer meetings, you know, it's so important to have your kids participate in prayer. And I'll tell you what, because I always think about it, you know, I grew up in a family where New Year's Eve was special. And we did a lot of fun things together, but come around 11:30 on New Year's Eve, my dad would get the Bible, and we'd read a scripture, a psalm out of the Bible, and then we all got on our knees and prayed. And we prayed the old year out and the new year in. And you know, to this day, that has stuck with me. I hate going through New Year's Eve and not taking that opportunity to spend the time thanking God for being with us in the past year and for the mighty things that He has done throughout the year. And then looking forward with great anticipation to that new year that's just on the horizon. And it's always just like it's a brand new page. It's a new year. We can start all over again. And we can plan to serve God. And you know, we will fail at times. But if we make that commitment at the beginning of the year and stick to it. You know, I'm going to speak from my heart a little bit this morning before I get to my notes. But I had my message prepared, I prayed, and I thought, because of my notes, of the song that Ron Canole sang, Righteous, Peace, and Joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And tell you, I got so lifted up, I thought, wow, if one song can do it, a few more songs will even do more. So I looked at Ron Canole and I played every song that I thought would match in with what I was feeling this morning. And I was up there. I wasn't down here. I was up there. Right in the middle of it, Pastor Ralph called me just to let me know that everything was okay. You know, just by going, all of a sudden, I came down. Now, that's not a reflection on him, but you know, that's how easy we get pulled back down to this earth. So we need to constantly fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God and with worship and praise so that we will stay up there. Because I'm talking about authority today. We have authority. Do you know you have authority? I know we give mental assent to it, but do we walk in the authority that God has given us? And that's what my challenge is. You know, we can always look back and think about all the things that we've missed. Today was my last day, 38 years ago, that my husband was by my side. And I could go and dwell and say, oh, for 42 years, I missed all these years. There's people that have been married for 60 years, for 65 years. I miss all that. But you know, the very first Sunday, before he was even buried in the ground, when we were up here praying for families and I had surrendered what I needed to do to my son and daughter-in-law, John and Tanya. And I was walking to my seat and Tanya said to me, Mom, are you sure? I said, oh yeah, I'm sure. You go up there and you pray. And as I was walking to my seat, you know that seat was always mine. It was the anointed seat. I heard Ralph's voice. You know, words that we speak are life. They will continue even as we're gone. But I heard his voice as clearly as could be. Woman, what are you doing? Get up there. Well, you know that's how he talked. Right?
Yeah.
And you know what? It helped me through the years. And I knew God was not finished with me yet. I had no business moping around and stirring my little pot of self-pity. But I had a motivation to keep going and to do what God had called me to do. And God gave me a brand new life. You know, there isn't a day that I don't think about the fact of all that God has given me in the last 8 years. That if I had sat in my little pot and stirred it and stirred it, you know what? I would have chased all of you guys away. You would have gotten bored and sick and sick of it. But you know, because I didn't do that, I still have all of you around me. And you know, I got a brand new husband who treats me like a queen. So God has blessed me. But it takes a decision. We need to take authority over our life, over our will, over our thoughts, over everything that we do. God has given us that authority. And as I was looking, I just wrote some lines down in the songs, and I don't even know what songs they were. But it was the power of his mercy, the power of his word. Yes, Lord, I believe. Shout out loud to the rock of my salvation. What is salvation? It's healing, wholeness, deliverance. Supply everything that we need. Shout to the Lord, to the rock of my salvation. I will come into the presence of the Lord. Lift him up. His name is lifted higher. We bring the sacrifice of praise. That's when things are tough. When we think we can't go on, we bring the sacrifice of praise. And God strengthens us and encourages us to go on. You delivered me from shame. Have you ever felt shame? We all have, haven't we? He's delivered us from shame. Exalt his holy name. He has turned my mourning into dancing. He has lifted my sorrow, and I cannot keep silent. I will sing for your... But I can't even read my own writing. I will sing for your joy. We want joy? Start singing for his joy. You know what? You say, well, I'm not a singer. Well, you know what? I'm not a singer. I croak. But I'll tell you, I will sing for the joy of the Lord. Because when we get that joy, we have strength. We have power. We have anointing. We have authority. Let everything that has breath. Have you got breath this morning?
Yeah.
Well, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And let the living confess. Are you alive this morning?
Yeah.
Well, confess that Jesus is the Lord. And everyone that hears it will rejoice. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, we are going into a new year. And you know, we're standing with some, we think about Gordon, but I think about Gordon this way. 8 years and 1 week ago, if he'd been in the same place he was today, we would have had something to be concerned about. But today, we know that if he leaves this earth today, he is in the presence of God. What a thing to rejoice about. And that's because of the goodness and the faithfulness and the mercy and the love of God. So yes, when we lose a person that's close to us, that's part of our family, it grieves us and it hurts us. But you know, we have that assured knowledge that they don't want to come back once they're through. They want to stay there. So if we start sulking around, all it is self-pity, because it's woe is me, poor me, because I have to go on. But we go on with God, who never leaves us and never, ever forsakes us. That was free. Now I start with my notes. Authority. Jesus exercised authority. He's our example in every situation. He always exercised authority. Now, I print most of my scriptures out, so I hope you don't mind if I just read them off here. They're all in the Bible, so you can look them up. In Mark 1, verse 21, verse 22, it says, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority. He had authority. But we can have that authority. You know, have you ever seen people exercise authority over their kids, and the kids just go, right?
Yep.
You know what? They may act like they have authority, but they're not really exercising authority. I've seen people wink with their eyes and have more authority than some shouting their lungs apart with authority. You see, we need to know. You walk into a place, you see people that walk with authority, that live with authority. We need to become, and the only way we can become that way is that we have a knowledge of the Word of God. It needs to be so in our hearts that everything that is contrary will just fall away from us. And we say, no, that's not true. That's not what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God says. This is where I can take authority in my life. So we need to be aware. How does that happen? By a four-letter word, which is a dirty word. It's called W-O-R-K. Work. Yep. Getting into the Word of God and personalizing Scripture. And making it become part of who you are. What the Bible says is the truth, and our circumstance is a liar. We're always trying to line the word up with our circumstance. We need to line up our circumstance with the word. And we need to, no matter what the situation is, no matter what we see, what we hear, what we feel, or what we think, we need to go by what the Word of God says, because that is the final authority. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand. Now, faith, we can't see it, but we accept it. Why? Because it is God's Word. This is not just a book. It is the living, active Word of God. No matter where we are, that word is alive and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we can stand on that word of God and believe it, because his word is true. We accept it by faith. We understand that in the ages the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things being seen not to have come into being out of the things that appear. So in other words, we don't see it, but we believe that it's there. In the world, God spoke it, and it was. It came to existence. Our words are creative. What are you speaking with your mouth? Are you speaking doom and gloom and misery? and prophesying your own doom, or are you speaking what the Word of God says about you? Because you'll live what you speak today. If we spoke something and all of a sudden we saw that happening, then we get a little careful about the words we speak. But because it takes seed and time, but if we constantly mumble and complain and worry and fear and have anxiety, we are living by the words that we speak, and we can't afford it. God spoke and there was. God spoke and there was. And God's word caused authority. God spoke to a man named Noah. And he started building an ark and was at it for 120 years. When there was no rain, there was no water, and he was being ridiculed. And he stood alone. There wasn't other evangelists lifting up his hand and saying, oh, come on, Noah, keep it going. No, he stood on his own, saying that God told me to do that, and I'm going to do it. That was the authority in the voice of God that caused him to do that. Abraham was one of the greatest men of faith. He was just like you and me. But yet God spoke to him, and the authority in that voice made him leave all the comforts of home and his family and go to a place that he had no idea where he was going, and yet he's called the father of our faith. David walked close to God, and he could hear his voice and recognize it. And he was one of the greatest kings that ever lived. You know, it says, the Bible says, God takes the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. And as we heard just a couple of weeks ago, that David was insignificant. Nobody thought of him as being the son that would be anointed as king. And yet God took him. Why was that? Because he was a worshiper. He worshiped God, and he listened to God's voice. And because of that, he became the greatest king that ever lived. Even unbelievers today know who King David was. Elijah and Elisha, we know all the miracles that were accomplished. God spoke to Elijah, and no rain came upon the earth. And God spoke again, and rain came. I mean, there was miracle after miracle. I love the story of Elijah and Elisha, because they were powerful, but it was the authority in the voice of God that caused them to walk supernaturally. And we have that ability, the same as they did, because they were men just like you and me. Then it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, Galatians 4:4. God gave to the world the personified word in the person of Jesus Christ. There was a fullness of time that Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Christmas today. That was the fullness of time that Jesus came and made everything new. Made it so that each one of us could really hear the voice of God, could really come into the presence of God, that our sin and our unrighteousness would not hinder us, because Jesus paid the price for all of that. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus acted with authority. Jesus not only spoke with authority, he acted with authority. You know, we can speak with authority, but we need to take some action. and Jesus acted with authority. We know the story of when they were going across the Sea of Galilee and the wind came up and Jesus was sleeping in the boat and they woke him up. He says, "Don't you care?"
Right. Yeah.
And Jesus said in Mark 4, verse 39, "And he awakened and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." So he had authority over the elements of this world. You know, a lot of people say that it's God who causes all this stuff. It isn't, because God wouldn't rebuke himself. You know, Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves. Jesus healed with authority. Mark 2, verses 10 to 12. "But so that you may know," wants us to know, "that the Son of Man has authority upon the earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your cot, and go to your house." And immediately he arose and took up his cot and went out before all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it this way." Healing was God's calling card. It says, "So that you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, get up and walk." So Jesus acted with authority, and Jesus healed the sick with authority. Matthew 15, verse 31 says, "And so much so that the crowd wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed sound, lame walk, and the blind see, and they glorified the God of Israel." They saw it happening. We can see it happening if we started walking in the authority that God has given to us. Luke 4, verse 36, "And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, 'What word is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits, and they come out.'" Verse 43 in that says, I'm going to look it up for a minute, Luke 4. Luke 4, go to verse 43, it says, "But he said to them, 'I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. For this purpose I have been sent.'" And for this purpose we have been sent. To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. You know, it was interesting. I don't want to preach anything that's wrong. And I'm not a theologian. We all know that. So I looked up. I don't want to say the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. That's the same thing. To me, it always was. And I looked up one writing. Oh, my goodness. I read two paragraphs, and I didn't know whether I was coming or going. It was so confusing. And he had about 3 or 4 pages about that subject, and it was so difficult. I thought, well, that's not going to work for me. That's just too involved. I'd rather go to the Word. So I picked up another piece, and he showed how from the Gospels, the one uses kingdom of heaven in the same story, the other uses kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is the same. We have been commanded to demonstrate the kingdom. It says, we pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I had an opportunity to witness to a friend of mine who's religious. I'm not sure whether she's saved or not at this point. But, you know, she was worrying and fretting about a lot of things, and I started teaching her. But the Lord showed me of getting free from some of those things. But, you know, it's like you talk a different language. is they don't understand. We need to live in the kingdom to understand kingdom language. You know, we need to. You sometimes think God doesn't speak. When you can understand spiritual truths, God is speaking. The Holy Spirit is enlightening you, because without Him, you would not understand. So, you know, the kingdom of heaven is in our hearts. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is what we are to demonstrate to those we come in contact with. It's righteousness, peace, and joy, not condemnation and guilt. It's, do we show that righteousness, peace, and joy? Or do we just talk about it? Do we live it? Do we live it with authority of the kingdom of heaven? I want to be part of the kingdom. That's part of the song too. Are you an heir of the kingdom? Are you an heir of the kingdom? Amen. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. We can walk in the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus exercised the authority when he cleansed the lepers and he said, I will, be thou whole. Then Jesus cast out devils. Now, you know, we go from one extreme to the other. Devils, a lot of times, everything gets blamed on the devil. There's three sources. There's God, there's the devil, and there's our own stupidity. Sometimes the devil doesn't need to do anything. We can just be stupid enough on our own to do what we want to do. But so, you know, there is a phase that the church goes through off and on. Is everything is a demon, so we cast out every demon we can think of. The demon of calories, the demon of fat, the demon of nicotine, the demon of this and the demon of that. You know what? None of those demons would exist inside of us, if they are demons, if we wouldn't open the door ourselves to them in the first place. And we cannot cast out the flesh. There's things that we need to do in our own life. We need to walk and do what God says to do and close every door that's around. Then there's the other group of people that don't believe they're, the devil is just in Haiti. Some of those other countries, but, you know, they're not in Canada. I remember my dad once said to a lady that visited him from his church, he says, you know, the devil is the most faithful churchgoer. And she looks at him and she says, I've never seen him in church. I'll tell you, he'll whisper to all of us, even in church, you know. Like, we can go from one extreme to the other. The devil is real. Spirits are real. You know, our spirits are eternal. Yep. Our spirits never die. Now, we don't float around here and haunt people and act weird after we die. We go, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. But our spirits don't die. Demons are spirits. They don't die. The demons that were around in Jesus' day, still around today. And we better know. We don't kind of say, oh, devil, please, go away. Don't want you. I'm scared of you. Go! No, we start taking authority over him. And I'll tell you, he's not fooled by us raising our voice and screaming. Still remember being in some of Lester Summerall's services, and he was had a tremendous ministry of deliverance. And lots of stupid people started manifesting in his meetings, and mostly it was pastors' meetings. And I'll tell you, you know, some woman would start acting crazy, and all those pastors would jump on it, and they would scream at that devil and holler at him, and Lester would look at it for a while, and he says, you guys there, stop it. You're making more noise than the devil. And he'd say to the woman, come up. He says, lady, you don't want to act like that, do you? She said, no. I said, well, in the name of Jesus, get out of her. You know, we don't scare the devil off by shouting at him. We scare the devil off by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb and the righteousness that we have obtained because of the cross. We have the authority over demons. Jesus had perfect authority. Sickness and disease was caused by the devil. Jesus said, you can partake of every fruit of every tree in the garden, but one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, don't partake of it, because if you do, you will surely die. And the devil came along and said to Eve, God has, has God indeed said that you can't eat of it? You know, has God really said it? And he still comes with us today. When we're believing God for a miracle, has God really said? You know, he didn't say it right to me. Just said it in his word. Does that mean it's for me? You know, has God really said? He still comes and causes us to doubt. When they partook of the fruit, they received the knowledge of evil. Before that, they didn't know sickness, they didn't know pain, they didn't know fear, they didn't know intimidation, they didn't know a lack of self-confidence. They didn't have any of those things that we struggle with today. Everything that we suffer today is because of man's knowledge of evil. And the evil came from Satan himself. That we're fighting death is only because of that decision that Eve made, because our bodies were made to live forever. So, healing comes from God. Sickness and disease does not come from God. Jesus even had authority over death. I would have loved to go to a funeral with him, because every funeral that he attended, life had to come. Now, he didn't go to every funeral, but the ones that he did go to, he was moved with compassion. You know, if you ever wonder if you should pray for someone or you shouldn't pray for something, you read the scriptures in the Bible, and when it talks about Jesus being moved with compassion, it's a good sign to pray for that individual. If you feel that compassion rising up in you and you want to feel like you would really like to do something for that person, you know, that's time to pray. Pray for them, because you will see the miraculous happen if you do that. Now, I've prayed for people and they've dropped dead. You know, and I wanted to stop praying. I had a pity party. And I said, yeah, sure, ask us to pray and drop dead. That's a good time to go. But, you know, I've seen many miracles over the years too, because I was moved with compassion. And I went. You know, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I don't understand everything. I know one thing that I know for certain, that God wants to heal. That Jesus came to heal our bodies. He came to set us free in every area of our life. Jesus loves us no matter where we've been or how dirty we are. His blood was still shed for us, and that if we receive that blood, we can be righteous in his sight. I don't understand some things. I don't understand why Gord is laying the way he is. I wish I could understand. I don't. I only know one thing. Jesus is the healer. And Jesus is who saved him. And we know that if Gord leaves this life, he's immediately in the presence of God. That's the power. And that's the word that we have. Jesus is the healer. Doesn't matter what I see with my eyes. It doesn't matter what I experience in my life. Jesus is still my healer. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then in Luke 9 verse 1 and 2 he says, "And he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Now, Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Because, you know, we fill our minds with the world's knowledge. We fill our mind with what doctors say. We fill our mind with what everybody else has experienced. We fill our minds with denominational thinking. We need to fill our mind with Bible thinking. And Bible thinking says, "By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed." You might say it's easy for you. You've got everything going your way. Well, there's been lots of times in my life that things have not gone my way. But I have stood on the Word of God no matter what happened. And I have always come through in victory. Was it always the way I figured it would be? No, but it was always victory. So, you know, you stand strong on the Word of God. No matter what we face, no matter what comes, no matter what we've experienced in 2012, 2013 is a brand new year. And it stands there with full of opportunities, of miracles, of hope, of deliverances, of growth, spiritually for ourselves and for the church. We have that ability. I'm thinking last year we were believing for Melinda to be able to have a baby. And look at, she's ready to pop. You know, praise God. That's a miracle. Right? We need to thank God for the things that he has done in our lives this past year. For bringing new life. For bringing healing, for bringing joy, for bringing finances, whatever. We are working, we are going, we are growing. And we look at the churches we're building in Cuba, right? How many, 10 is it? 10 churches we've established this past year in Cuba. We have bought a bus so we can pick up people from the bus. One of the reasons we have a bus, and Raylene doesn't even need it, but Raylene and her family are here because we were able to purchase a bus. God has been so good to us. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to not judge everything by what we know, what we see. We need to judge it by what the Word of God says. We have authority in this kingdom. And my notes are taboo. But anyway, that's where I'm at. God has some good plans for us in 2013. And I'll tell you, I am looking forward with great anticipation to see what the Lord has done. You know, I pray that this year will be a year of abundance in every area of your life. In the physical, in your finances, in your body, that you will be strong and healthy. If you have sickness in your body right now, I believe that this year will be the year of this year. Well, sure, we got 24 hours left or 48 hours left in this year. We can have a year of deliverance yet, right? And anyway, next year is full of healing and wholeness and soundness. There's prospective jobs available in 2013. There's finances available. God's going to bless all of you so this church can grow and grow. And we can go forth and establish more churches and do more evangelism. Why? Because God is prospering you. And so because he prospers you, the church prospers financially. We are blessed people. And so I praise God for all of you and pray God's blessing on you in this coming year. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your truth. I thank you, Lord, that we shout, a shout of joy because of all the things you have done for us in 2012. For the things you've brought us through, even, Lord, the hard things that you've brought us through, that we're standing today because of your goodness and your faithfulness. And, Lord, I look forward to 2013 for the work that you are doing among us. Lord, for growth for each one of us, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, Lord, that where any areas that we're struggling right now, that they will be gone in 2013 and will walk in that authority that you've given to us so that we can fulfill the calling that's on our life to proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near us, has come right here. And that we can proclaim it. Lord, I commit every single family and every person into your hands. And all those who are to come in this coming year that are not here yet, Lord, that you would cause the light of your gospel to shine forth in their hearts and lives so they can totally surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.